Whoops. Okay, I want to talk about this week's X Factor. Marcus Mariota. These are the X Factors.
He has, look, the rest of the sports media world is doing it for you. As far as I can tell, people plan on him being emperor of the universe by the end of the season. That's how good Marcus Mariota is going to be. First, he's going to destroy the AFC South. Then he's going to surpass Tom Brady in all-time quarterback accomplishments, and he's going to do it in one regular season. That's right.
That's not who Trump was talking about, though.
Doesn't matter. We don't do it, Mike. Hey, we don't use context anymore. It's sound bites, and then we run with it. We're taking a cue from politics.
Didn't I ask you guys last week who you'd want right now if you could draft one of these guys again, Winston or Mariota? Did I ask you?
I don't know if you did.
Maybe
did
that
you?
Was McClain. Who would you take right now? Winston, Mariota. I'm taking Winston.
That's a great question.
I'm taking Winston.
I would take Mariota.
Really?
Yeah. Not with the highest degree of certainty as you can listen and hear in my voice. I worry about Winston and the interceptions a little bit. And if I can just get Mariota to stay a little bit healthier, I know that's a big if, but I am more confident in his ability to limit mistakes. That's what I would say.
Give me Mariota's running game. I mean, the Titans running game with Winston. Give me a little coaching. You know, I can build a team around him. I still like Winston. We'll see. He's going to be a heck of a football player.
Mark, let me ask you this. Do you think that there is a... We started the show by talking about J.J. Watt and expectations for this season. And one of the things that I was wondering about was, is there a natural skepticism when it comes to this season because of what happened last year with Brock?
Oh, I think it's what's happened to the quarterback position.
In general.
People are very much Missouri state of mind with this team. Show me. You know, show me you got it down at quarterback, and then I'll get really excited. They're excited anyway. But the quarterback position, let's face it, has been a big unsolved mystery for this team, and it continues to be until they get it right, until they get a consistent guy under center who can perform at a high level and bring him to the promised land, or at least close to it. You know, this is what you got. You got 8 different starters in the last 3 years. A lot of that, you know, Bill O'Brien, and you guys talked to him at length about this. He's very clear to point out it hasn't always been him pulling quarterbacks. I mean, a lot of it was injury related.
Okay? Yeah.
Fitzpatrick would have finished out 14. You know, Savage would have finished out last year, but they've kept having to make changes because of guys getting pulled and injuries.
I'm just glad you explained that Missouri state of mind reference, because in my mind I was like, what happened at Missouri State? What do I know? Is
what
there
happened
like?
There?
Is this the next big quarterback
such
prospect out of Missouri State?
Such an old school reference. Show me state.
What's show me state mean anyway?
I don't know why they have that.
There's got to be a reference.
It's
to
a
something.
Good moniker.
And we have Missouri City here. Why? Because there were
is it a good moniker?
People from Missouri to work down in Missouri City. I guess I don't know.
Show me state sounds weirdly perverse in my mind. I know when they came up with it in 1933. People wouldn't think that way, but now we do. We're in the internet age.
It's not the reveal yourself state.
It's not the show it to me state. Yeah.
Exactly.
You know what's kind of weird in that this never happens to a Houston Texans football team is how popular Deshaun Watson is nationally. If you look at the latest purchased jerseys,
it might be more popular nationally than locally because everyone's sort of in this
cautious
state of mind.
If you look, Mark, I don't know if you saw this, but NFL Shop top 25 jerseys. I'm not going to read all 25, but the top five jerseys in May, so the most recent sample size.
Right.
Marshawn Lynch, Raiders 1, Tom Brady, Dak Prescott, Ezekiel Elliott, and Deshaun Watson.
He's in the top 5.
He's in the top 5, and you're talking about, you know, the Raiders, which is an iconic jersey with a really cool player, one of the greatest players of all time, a guy who was dominant as a rookie. Well, two guys who were dominant as rookies on the most popular football team, arguably, in this country, and Deshaun Watson.
Well, that's amazing. I mean, it says a lot about what he did in college. I mean, you got a guy who played at such a high level in the 2 national championship games and winning one, and the way he won it, the way he lost it the year before. You know, you go out guns blazing like that against Alabama, then he finally beats them. And there is a lot of excitement nationally. There's an assumption nationally that he's going to be the guy. I think he will be the guy eventually. He'll eventually play for this franchise. I mean, you've spent 2 number ones on him.
Yes.
He's eventually going to play. But I just don't know if it's this year or whatever. And I do know this. Savage did look pretty good in the spring. It's not like Savage didn't look good and you're saying, well, this is just a foregone conclusion that Watson's going to take over at the Greenbrier. You cannot say that about this team right now. And I think that's good for Watson, and it's great for the team, obviously.
For those of you that just couldn't let this go the same way I couldn't let it go, the Show Me State was popularly ascribed to a speech by Congressman Willard Van Diver in 1899, who declared, "I come from a state that raises corn and cotton, cockle burrs and Democrats, and frothy eloquence neither convinces nor satisfies me. I'm from Missouri, and you've got to show me."
Wait, what's a cockle what?
That was Willard Van Diver.
Okay.
What is
I like
cockles?
That.
Frothy eloquence.
I've always enjoyed the phrase that show me
like
state.
That sounded like a shot at us and our frothy eloquence.
No, I don't think so.
No? Okay.
I don't think so.
I wouldn't call it frothy. I would just call it eloquence. let's not over-describe.
I have a question here.
Yeah.
Another thing that came up much earlier in the show, like top of the show, 6 o'clock. Watt is back, obviously, and he'll play week one, assuming everything goes well. How confident are we, or how close will he be, in your mind, to the J.J. Watt from 2012 to 2015?
I think he's going to be close.
Okay.
I think he'll be close. Now, the big question is, I assume he's going to get to the opening day starting line healthy.
Yes.
The question is, does he stay healthy? Does the back hold up the way J.J. Watt is going to play? I mean, the way anybody's going to play in this game, but the back's got to hold up. But I think healthy J.J. Watt is going to produce maybe 15 sack season, something like that. I think it's way too much to expect, 20 sacks, especially since he's going to have a race with Clowney and Merciless to get to the quarterback very often. I mean, sometimes he'll get there, but, it might be a split second late, and then somebody else gets the sack. We're just talking about a statistic here. If he could just wreak havoc in the backfield, draw double teams, do all that stuff, make, J.J.'s great against the run, too. Make great plays against the run. Look, we watched the highlight film the other day as the business side of the building, and it was on Sunday night on ABC 13. It's going to be on again Saturday night, by the way, at 11 o'clock, ABC 13, the highlights from last year. The Jacksonville game here is a Clowney tour de force.
Yeah,
it was tremendous.
I mean, just spends the whole day in the backfield enjoying himself.
There's something about the way Clowney's playing now, and then if you get JJ, peak JJ, and the image I kept getting when I was out there watching OTAs, when you look at just the wingspan of JJ Watt and Jadeveon Clowney when they're lined up on opposite sides, is like Syracuse basketball defense. Like, when they're playing that really good zone defense and they're all long and rangy, and you look at them, there's no place to put the ball. There's flesh everywhere.
Right.
That's what it looked like. Flesh everywhere. Not to mention DJ Reader. Whole lot of flesh on that kid.
You always come back to flesh and show me and
These are the things, Mark. This is life. This is the elixir that people want to know about. Death, sex, flesh, and poop.
No, people don't want to talk about death. They really don't.
Are you like?
What are you talking? Why not?
Are you like a mason?
Are you afraid of it?
I am.
You're a little afraid of it.
I am. Absolutely.
Fear.
No question.
Fear.
Yeah.
Yes. I think it's natural to have a healthy fear.
Well, yeah, that's what drives you.
I don't want to go anytime soon.
I kind of wish. Sometimes I wish I were a Viking, where it was all about achieving fame and in the world and just
fair.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't matter.
Because then you live forever in the afterlife, with fame.
If you solidly believe that, then what's the problem?
It's not enough. I don't want to be up in heaven thinking about how I could have been more famous. I want it now.
Let's quantify where...
You're banished to an eternity of heaven, but you have to think about the things you didn't accomplish in life.
Will I get all my regular channels in heaven? Do I get that? Do I get Red Zone?
I haven't thought about that.
Is that available?
That's a good question.
As far as I can figure it out...
Is that extra?
I think as far as I can figure it out, it's going to be like being on heroin all the time. Because that's the only thing you can do to not think about everything else in the world that you're missing. All this stuff, if you think about a monotonous eternity of nothing going wrong, that sounds awful. I guess they drug you when you get up there.
So your local pastor might bring heroin into the equation on Sunday.
Okay, yeah.
Good. Thank you, Seth.
Let's quantify where this Texans team stands as far as other teams in the conference. This is Mad Radio.
Hey, it's the roast of Wade Smith that's coming at you on Sunday. Get your tickets right now. We got a special code online. You can get a really good deal. Get your VIP tickets, including an early entry with a meet and greet with Wade Smith, Chris Myers, and me. I'm going to be there. Premium seating and food from Maggiano's Little Italy. It's going to be a rip-roaring good time. We're all going to make fun of each other. Somebody's going to get offended and try to fight me. Go to sportsradio610.com right now. There is a special offer on there right now. It's a really, really good deal, so check that out. Get your tickets while they last.
Mark Vandermeer is joining us in studio. How many teams in this conference are better than the Texans are? The Patriots are clearly one.
Yeah, if you go on paper, the Patriots, I would say it's funny because when I look at Kansas City, I would say, gosh, they look better on paper, but you beat them last year and you're going to play them again at home this year. But they still look better on paper to me than the Texans. right now.
Yeah.
With the unknown at quarterback. Now you look at Pittsburgh with all the firepower. Let's assume Le'Veon Bell is going to be there and happy and maybe healthy and not suspended.
Yeah.
And the Pittsburgh Steelers look better to me on paper.
I'm tired of talking every year about how awesome the Steelers would be if everybody's healthy all the time.
But isn't that most teams? But they do have injury issues.
Right.
They have injury issues and other absences.
Yeah, and I feel like Roethlisberger, there's no, what's the over-under on number of games Roethlisberger plays this year?
Yeah, and every once in a while, you got to go through a stretch of games without Big Ben, who I still think is a pretty underrated quarterback when we talk about the great quarterbacks in this league.
Mm-hmm.
You know, isn't he the oh yeah guy? You're talking about, oh, Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady. What about Drew Brees? And oh yeah, Roethlisberger.
I've always liked Roethlisberger a lot, just his style of play. I do think, though, I don't think he was that good at the end of last season. I just don't think he really stood out. I don't think he did a lot in the playoffs against the Patriots. They kind of look like a soft version of themselves. Now, in fairness, in relation to Houston, that team went 11-5, and they ran off 7 games in a row.
Yeah, I forgot that's what we're talking about there. You're right. Exactly right.
I would say they're better. I mean, you just look at their skill position talent, and it's tremendous.
Yeah. Is anybody else in the AFC North on paper better than the Texans? They beat the Bengals last year, but the Bengals, look, they're talented. They should be back.
A.J. Green is healthy.
Really good.
Well, what do we think of Baltimore? What does anybody think of the Baltimore Ravens?
That their defense might actually look a little. What's that?
They're having a little renaissance.
Yeah.
Mini renaissance. They're not going to be what they were in the Ray Lewis, Ed Reed era, but they're coming back on defense. And these are really important years for Ozzie, you know, who did such a wonderful job building that franchise. And now he's got to, you know, he's reloaded it several times. So give him a ton of credit for that. And now he's got to do it again. He's trying to do it again. The Joe Flacco questions sort of remain here because, you know, and he's performed well before in big spots. He's also performed badly in big spots. So I'm not answering the question here. I think they're about even if I have to look at it that way. Who's better on paper? You know, and it's because, look, they've got an established quarterback. Texans defense is better. You're going to play them up there. I would have to say on paper they're about even.
I would agree with that.
Considered.
One team that we have not mentioned yet in this conversation is the Oakland Raiders, who have obviously a better quarterback, a better offensive line, just a much better offense overall. The Raiders' defense is not very good, but they do have a few standouts, obviously with Khalil Mack being the number one guy.
And look at the way they beat the Texans last year in Mexico. I mean, Texans were performing very well in that game, and all of a sudden the Raiders erupted for a couple of late touchdowns, and they can do that to people because of how powerful, how quick strike that offense is. So, look, I expect them to have a big year again. Derek Carr should come back healthy. Would I say the Raiders are better than the Texans right now? With a healthy Derek Carr, you'd have to say they're even or better.
The part of it's interesting that they still do some things to protect Derek Carr that are a little bit above and beyond what teams typically do to protect their quarterback. Derek still has the problem of his technique breaking down when he's in a muddied pocket. So they just flat out say, all right, well, we're going to have 6 offensive linemen out there. We're going to keep our tight ends in. We're only going to send 2 receivers out on routes. And They've done it. It's not a big secret. They just do it really, really well. I am curious if that catches up to them if they don't introduce some more complexity. Like Derek, I'll put Derek in that same boat. He should have gotten that contract. That's the right thing to do. But he still does, I think long term, he still needs to take a couple steps in his development.
Everybody does.
Yeah.
I mean, Mariota does. Carr does. There's no doubt. I mean, Carr's not an established elite guy yet. He just looks so promising. And here's the thing about the Raiders and the Titans. Now, all right, everybody's saying how great you are. How do you handle this? Not that they've had success, really, but how do you handle whatever success and accolades you've gotten to this point?
Yeah.
You know, you're used to being a doormat. Both teams are coming off winning seasons. How do you handle that? That's going to be really interesting to see because I'm not convinced that these teams are that yet, are ready to sort of carry that weight. Now, the Texans are certainly ready to carry the weight as favorites in the AFC South. They're not favorites, but challengers in the AFC South, and they've won the division a couple of times in a row, and I think they'll be primed to do that kind of thing again. And there's one thing, you know, when we talk about teams that they're even with or not as good as or whatever, we all agree on this. Average quarterback play and a pretty solid running game makes the Texans better than a lot of teams in this conference. I mean, automatically, don't turn the ball over. Give me 20, 25 touchdown passes and only 10 interceptions, and then you can really make some noise because the defense should be that good.
You guys will disagree. I think Tennessee's better right now. I just trust their offense
than
a lot
Houston.
More. Yes, I think they're better right. I think they're better
right
now.
Who do you trust on the offense? You trust Corey Davis? Like, who do you trust in their receiving?
Well, running game.
Like,
well,
I know running game, but again, like this is what, like from once you show promise 1 year, and then all of a sudden you just extrapolate out to greatness the next. I don't quite get the, like they're somewhat one dimensional in where they can threaten you on the football field.
Well, let's put it this way. Let's say we were doing this show in Vegas.
Yeah.
Right.
And we each had to, like, pull out Seth's dollar bill or whatever.
Yeah.
But let's say it's 20 bucks and we had to bet on someone to win the division. I would put my 20 bucks on Tennessee, not because I want to, but because I want to try to maximize my value.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing about Corey Davis. Is he going to be that good? I don't know. But I know this. The Titans receivers last year were slow and not very good. So I think when you look at Corey Davis and you look at some of the guys they've added, I think that he will make a substantial improvement over what they had last season.
Okay, so you're talking about rookie wide receivers who are notoriously slow to develop, and you can't count on them. Plus, he hasn't played yet. He's still injured, coming off of an injury.
Yes.
And it's Marcus Mariota, who, by the way, doesn't have a demonstrated ability to really throw the ball downfield all that well. That somehow Corey Davis being able to run a 40 real fast is going to translate into just a blooming success for the Tennessee Titans. This exuberance over the Tennessee Titans, who have done nothing. The Tennessee Titans have done nothing for how long now? Well, like, I don't understand where it comes from based on this infatuation that people had with Marcus Mariota when he was a senior.
People love the young up and comer, and that's who they are.
Yes.
Now,
and their offense was good last season. If you look at all the stats, the points, everything, like, they were a good offense last season.
It still would bother me, and I've said this before, it totally would bother me as a Titans fan the way they showed up or did not in the second to last week against the Jaguars.
Absolutely,
that was such
correct.
A horrible game
awful
for them.
Awful performance.
And a chance to take the division, play for it at home against the Houston Texans, and they totally blew it. And I'll say this. If we're in Vegas, I don't know. I think it's pretty even, Mike, because the Texans, it's a mystery at quarterback. Look what they did last year with the quarterbacking that they had. The defense is going to be good. Watt's coming back. And at quarterback, even though it's a mystery, the raw talent says that, hey, they should at least be better than they were last year, and maybe they'll be a lot better. I mean, they could be a lot better. And that might only take you to, like, slightly above average or average in the NFL, but that, as we all agree, could mean a whole lot.
I don't know, as far as good, like, okay, everybody had a better offense than the Texans, but as far as being a good offense, they were middle of the pack, like dead center, 50th percentile for scoring offense. They had a good rushing offense, but it was at the expense of their passing offense. They were the 25th passing offense last year.
Tennessee?
But yes, and somehow they had 25th passing offense. Man, is Mariota going to be the MVP this year? Probably so. Look at it, 25th passing offense. And all he's doing is coming off a horrific ankle injury. And he hasn't actually been a full participant yet in OTAs. But, man, I look at Marcus Mariota. They were the 25th passing offense last year. How could they not be the best offense in the league this year?
You know who I worry about, though?
What?
The Colts. I still do.
Of course.
I still do. Andrew Luck, if he's upright. I mean, Andrew Luck is a proven playmaker. You know, Mariota's still this guy's, like, he's done some things, and maybe, you know, he's got to take that leap. He's got to get better. But Andrew Luck is out there, gentlemen, and they got to find a way to stop him.
In Mad Takes, how a TV show affected the adult film industry in a big way this weekend. And Vandy has an issue with the way we portrayed Les Alexander's
big
ownership.
Issue. You guys were way... I wanted to call in when I listened to you sort of summarizing the Les Alexander era.
A Vandering next.